In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My wife plays with me.
All right, all right, all right.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
What is that, ostrich?
Hell no, it's python.
It's Sterney's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, The Drive. We are live at Buffalo Wild Wings, 99 in Kirkendall. Come on through. We're up in Spring, Buffalo Wild Wings again. 99 in Kirkendall. I think I heard the midday folks talking about there is two locations up in Spring. There are two locations up in Spring. We are at 99 in Kirkendall. Come on through and hang out with us. I've already eaten twice and had a couple of drinks, and Ron has as well. So come on in and join us. There's a little crowd here having a good time, watching a little TV and enjoying the cooler weather outside and having a few pops, enjoying their Thirsty Thursday. Big shout out to Bud Light for making it happen. Big shout out to Academy Sports and Outdoors as well. Always give them a shout out, right?
Why not?
And just a quick announcement. Today we are obviously once again at Buffalo Wild Wings, 99 in Kirkendall up in Spring. But tomorrow we are at the Raven Tower.
Yep.
The Raven Tower down. Is that in the Heights, T? Is that that's a Heights location?
Heights-ish.
Y'all know what I'm talking about.
It's next to that outdoor music venue.
That's right. It's inside the Loop, I believe.
Yes.
So look it up. The Raven Tower. I know Ron and I had us a good time last time we were there. They had a little food truck outside with a lot of drinks and TVs everywhere. So come on through and hang out. We got a big matchup tonight, Thursday Night Football. So I can't think of a better place to watch it than right here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Boys, the Texans offensive line has been significantly better over the last month. The Texans offensive coordinator has been significantly better over the last month. So much so, the national media is catching on. Here is Dan Orlovsky. Earlier this morning, I saw it this morning when I was up with the girls and the kiddos and getting them moving. Dan Orlovsky is obviously extremely high on what's going on in Houston. Here he is talking about these Texans.
They are on this four-game win streak. What's changed for their offense specifically?
It's the most improved offensive line in football, and it's the most improved offensive coordinator in football. Shout out to Nick Caley, his growth this season. We've talked for years, about 2 years, about how bad this offensive line has been in Houston and the impact on the quarterback. This offensive line was terrible last year. Look at the number difference, okay? At this point last year, 104 pressures, and 164 pressures, 25 sacks. Right now, 106 pressures.
Wow.
So a little bit more than 50 less, 14 sacks. That's 11 less. That is huge by that center guard, that guard, center guard trio. Totally has changed. It's the most improved offensive line in football, and it's the most improved and developed offensive coordinator in the game right now.
I couldn't agree more with what Dan is saying. I think I don't know about football because I don't study him all the way he does, but I know that if there is a top two or three or four or five, they're in the tops in a sense of groups and coordinators that have shown the most growth through the first 12 weeks of the season. I don't think there's any secret there. The Texans have been really good. Now, the question is why? Ron. The question is why and how. That's the conversation that needs to be had. And earlier we had Nick Caley, the offensive coordinator, on right here on Sports Radio 610. You can download the Audacy app, AUDACY, and go back, use the rewind feature, and catch Nick Caley if you so choose. But Nick Caley gave us a little insight into what's been better about the Texans' offense this year.
I think they've continued to get better at just fundamental football. In the run game, I think our double teams and combinations have gotten better and improved steadily. And I think just time on task, time to settle in with the guys that are in there now, just more time of doing it, honestly. We've improved on that. I think in terms of the pass protection, the cohesiveness, starting with communication and being on the same page, those guys have done a really good job of just working together, communicating so that we're all coordinated in terms of our distribution in the pass pro. So when you couple that run game, pass protection, I think we've made some strides. We still gotta make some more strides, but I've been pleased with the improvement from that standpoint. You know, we get a lot of extra work at practice, do a lot of stuff fundamentally in terms of blitz pickup, etc. And I think it's starting to show improvement at a good pace. We just got to make more.
Ron, I like the thought of, I'll be honest with you, I really like the double team, the physicality, and like the improvement, the double team, because you could see that on film, no question about it. You could see it on film every day, every game. It wasn't there. They were talking about it. It never showed up. And now all of a sudden, it's shown up. And so here's the deal. We've established that nationally they're getting the attention that they rightfully deserve, the O-line and the play caller. We've heard from the play caller in the sense of what does he see in difference. Obviously, this group, the time on task, the reps they're getting, the ability to execute double teams better. And I'm going to say this, Ron. I think when I look at this overall, I think it's fair to look at Trent Brown, the former New England Patriot, the guy that was – more of a coach and mentor for a good chunk of the offseason and, hell, part of the regular season. I think it's fair to say that we may look back on this thing and Trent Brown could have saved not just the offensive line, but, hell, he could have saved the season. When you look at the way that he plays the game, you'll never convince me that there's not a correlation with him getting in the game, his physicality being shown snap in, snap out. You and I talked about it immediately following the first game that his ass played. And I said, I don't know how you ignore it. I don't know how you put anybody else on the field right there. And his ability, we talked specifically about how they're handling double teams and his ability to know and feel when to go to the next level, when to allow the guard to take over on a double team and go to the next level and not leave him out to dry. We talked about it specifically then. So if you're we can look at it from the perspective of just his play in specifically and how, when you put that on film, how it impacts the rest of these young guys. This is that now the O-line coach can say, this is what a double team's supposed to look like, boys. Instead of talking about it, and we've heard offensive line coaches asking for more physicality and finishing on double teams for 4 years now, and we just haven't seen it until recently. And so I think from that perspective, his play, just being better at the right tackle position, more forceful at the right tackle position, number one. Number two, the film aspect of it, the other guys seeing it and becoming contagious. And number three, the bigger piece of this thing is freeing up Titus Howard to be the answer for the missing piece. I think it was pretty obvious early on that Ed Ingram was their best option at right guard.
And they wanted him to play guard.
They wanted him to play guard.
Titus. They wanted him to be an answer at one of them.
Well, they had no choice, right? As you look at what they're going on, you have no choice. You got Ed Ingram that I think clearly early on, if he was healthy, he was going to be their right guard. He, for whatever reason, however they got there, that's what they decided on. Jake Andrews, they gave him the Kamari Lassiter treatment. They gave him the damn starting job almost immediately in OTAs. He was getting all the starter reps right there. And so those two guys were plug-and-play guys. That left guard position was a real major struggle. And because Trent Brown could get in there and play right tackle, in a way of which I don't give a damn who the other right tackle was, I think he's going to be hard-pressed to get him off the field. We now see that. Now, that allows Titus Howard to go to left guard. And look, Titus Howard does not like playing left guard. I don't give a damn what anybody says. I don't care what he says. Right?
No, it's not his best position either.
It's not his best position. It's not a good position. I mean, he gets the job done. He gets the job done, but it's not pretty. It's not in guard fashion. He's not built for it. His play style doesn't fit it. He needs to be a tackle the rest of his career. If it's not here, he needs to find somewhere to be a tackle. That's bottom line. But right now, he is the best answer at guard. He can go in there. He can understand the communication, the pass protections, the run schemes. Even the run schemes, he's the one guy that there's just a – I mean, it, I don't know if it's out of position. I don't know if it's just not a physical guy. He just does not bring the same level of physicality that some of these other guys do. I mean, if you're out there, Ron, and you know this, hell, haven't played in the trenches at any level. If you're out there and you play hard and you're physical, you're going to catch guys slipping. You're going to de-cleat guys. You're going to get some pancakes. Hell, he ain't got no interest in pancaking folks. But he can get the job done. He's more of a shielding style technique approach than some of the other guys are more bulldozers. But I'm telling you, man, Trent Brown has allowed this offense in many ways allowed this offense to learn how to play the position. By demonstration, he's freed up a guy that can move in and play the guard position, and now you're looking at an offensive coordinator that's better and a quarterback that's more well protected in a run game that, while not overly productive, but definitely complementary, if you will, and definitely situationally, they've been good of late. And so, I think Trent Brown just deserves a hell of a lot of credit for what is going on offensively for the Houston Texans.
I wasn't sold till we talked to him earlier today. And obviously you can see where he plays. I do think Titus is probably their best tackle, and he's playing guard. But I can understand especially what it is that they want to do.
Yep.
And I think he may be the leader of the offensive line. He may be the leader of the offense, to be honest with you, especially how much he was – In the off season, him talking to guys, it seemed like everybody walked right over to him. You could see that he meant more than just, you know, putting his hand in the dirt.
Well, that brings me to probably the final and most impressive point with Trent Brown is after having him here on the radio with us. I know you had some big guy chemistry with him, and came around to being higher on him at right tackle. But it's blatantly obvious, Ron. We talk about this all the time. When we have guys on the radio or we have guys in the post-game show, you know, there is a good chunk of guys that walk in there, and I think D'Amico and Nick Caserio have built it this way, but they are literally robots in what they say and how they act when they're on in a setting like this where people can hear and it's publicly presented, right? I firmly believe, I've said this a million times, I think offensively we lack the guys that don't have that. We got too many guys that it's coach speak, it's hey man, don't say the wrong things, make sure you're preaching the company messaging and don't get out of line. And then all of a sudden you get a guy on, Dalton Schultz is one of those guys, but definitely is one of the guys that I'm talking about here in a sense of Trent Brown. Like, when you have them on air, they're comfortable in their own skin, they're confident, they're not worried about what Nick Caserio thinks or what D'Amico's going to think. They're going to say things that come to their mind, and I think we need more of that on this offense. And so now, even after talking to him today, Ron, and figuring out, man, he's not just a good player that can do all these things, he's also a guy that brings that leadership, that alpha, that genuine, sincere alpha to the table, that was much needed on this offense as well.
No, yeah, that to me, I think that's maybe the difference.
Yeah,
and what you're hearing, you can't, especially for a unit, Clint. Just listen, they're not going to be great right now. Like this, they're not going to be great. They're too young at some spots. They've got some deficiencies at other spots. You got one guy who's really a tackle playing guard, but all of the intangible extra stuff you need.
Yep.
And all of that helps for them to be good enough for this offense to be able to function. At times last year or even the year before, they weren't good enough to function. And all of that extra stuff helps to me. And I think it's no coincidence. Once again, we heard from Nick Cayley earlier in this segment. I don't think it's any coincidence that the feeling of the offense working or looking the best it's looked also coincides with the offensive line playing like they have.
Well, they've got their best five out there. They're executing them double teams, which it seems simple, but I can't stress how important that is. I think they're probably communicating a little bit better. And the last thing, Ron, we're talking about the offensive coordinator being better. I'll be honest with you. Now, he's been better, no doubt about it, and he's finding his groove. But I got to be honest, man. I think a lot of this boils down to they've just got their best players on the field. I mean, we talked about it earlier. Like, my only negative pushback, if you will, is like, why did it take so long to figure out Laken Tomlinson shouldn't even be on the team?
Yeah.
Because it ain't like you know, he's a backup now after rotating him and you treated him as a starter, then you rotated him, and now he's not even on a team. Like, how did that take 8 weeks into the season to get it done? Now, I know it's week 12, but it took 8 weeks to figure out you need to rotate these guys. Like, why is it taking a year and a half to realize Juice Scruggs isn't a guy that you can trust to start right now? Like,
maybe it was all the injury to Trent Brown that
it was holding him back?
Yeah, maybe. That they didn't get a chance to put him in.
Fair.
Because that's
fair.
What I said.
And Blake Fisher was bad, so it may limited options.
From the jump, it felt like they wanted to move Titus inside.
Yeah, they had
started that way, and then Cam Robinson was so bad, then they felt like they had to get him off the team, and then they had to move Ursary over there. And then it was like, well, we can only use Blake really in this damn jumbo package, which you want them to stop. And so maybe that's what it was.
My only point in saying all that is
they could have got to Jared Patterson quicker.
My only point in saying that is I think this offensive coordinator is better right now because – you know, one, the QBs have been better. Both of these guys have been better. But I think you got the right running back on the field, right? I think you're getting the ball in the hands of Woody Marks in situations where we can have success without everybody around him being perfect. We've mentioned the O-line to death. They finally settled on the best five guys, right? Getting the best guys on the field are just – I mean, you could – the only guy still kind of hanging around out there that you could say, what's wrong with Jalen Noel? Why are we still playing this Christian Kirk game? That's really the only one. I mean, everything else it seems like has settled in to what we were begging for after week one, to be honest with you. But it looks like it's settled in now. So there's the Texans offense is getting a ton of credit, rightfully so. The last month has been tremendous. And now you get CJ back, and you got a chance to even be better.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just I was going to run down the reasons of why again. I mean, so what you got?
I just don't want to. I don't want to throw a wet blanket on it.
Well, you're good at that. What do you got?
Just, I do want to see if it's growing like this, and it has gotten better. And by an eye test, it has been.
Hold on, so
they are still averaging 19 points a game in their last three.
Yep.
By the eye test, you look like it looks better. Is the next step going to be that they are going to? It's actually going to pay dividend, right?
No.
The
answer is no. They're not trying to score 30 points, Ron. They're trying to score 20.
And they're right at 19.
And they're right at 19. Seriously,
19.6.
Sorry, we're never the way they handled the end of the half last week.
Can't get to 24.
The way they had, like literally, Ron, and we've been meaning to talk about this all week, but hell, I'll put it out there. I mean, we just listened to D'Amico Ryans talk about I'm aggressive. I like to be aggressive, referring to two quarterback sneaks of the tight end.
Good time, man. Fourth down.
If you're third and short and fourth and short, if you're an aggressive coach, what are you going to do on third down? Third and short. If
go up. Go up top. Try to get a big play.
We call I'm aggressive doing the tush push. We caged over twice, right? So, I mean, like, you got to put all this stuff into context. We're not going to see the full power of this offense, whatever it may or may not be. We're not going to see it given how they approach football. And we're just going to have to find a way to complement the O-line and the running back and the OC, you know, without saying, well, you scored 30 points this week. I just don't think it's going to happen very often.
Yeah, that's just my thing is, yes, I feel like it is improving. When you look up there, within that improvement, you look up, well, they had 36 yards total in a half.
Mm-hmm.
They're still sitting there at 19 points a game.
You mess around and get up 10 points in that second half this week, you're going to see it again.
Okay.
We're going to run that old bad foot off of Woody.
I guess. All right, coming up, important information. This is just developed for the Texans. Not great news here in the last 15, 20 minutes. We'll let you know what that is.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very
happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Coming up next.
I just got the red carpet. We're wanting to get into a controversy.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 99 in Spring, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back. As we are live here on a Thirsty Thursday, we are, as the big voice man said, we're in spring. Buffalo Wild Wings, come on out and hang out with us. Also, remember, tomorrow will be a big football Friday, and you can come hang out with us. It will take us to Ravens Tower, as Clint said, in the city, inside the loop. Come on out and hang out with us, as it'll be a good time. We went there not too long ago. I believe they had that purple haze or some sort of a drink that I got coerced into. It's a good spot. Good time to be had. Good food trucks outside. So come on out and have a good time. 310 North Street here in Houston. That's where Raven Tower is, right next to that outdoor music venue. So come on out and hang out with us tomorrow on a football Friday. All right, Clint, I did want to pass along this news. There were reports that Kamari Lashley was seen on the practice field today. This from Aaron Wilson, two parts here. Texans corner Kamari Lashley is sidelined with a foot injury. While it isn't regarded as a season-ending situation, his availability for Sunday's game against the Chiefs is, quote, up in the air, per sources. Team has added a new corner, Jamarcus Ingram, off waivers today from the Bills. So they do add another player at that position, which I think almost sends the alarms that this could be a little bit more serious in terms of missing at least this game. He also went on to say that Lassiter is hoping to make it back for Sunday's game against the Chiefs, per sources, but availability is uncertain due to foot injury. If he can't go, Clint, as you mentioned before, Tremon Smith would be the next man up to go opposite of Derek Stingley Jr. So it looks like, Clint, from what we heard from D'Amico, it felt like he, just the way he sounded, we talked about it yesterday, that he felt pretty good about that trio of Lassiter, Will Anderson, and Woody Marks coming back. Two of them obviously are back, but it looks like the Kamari Lassiter thing maybe more of a threat of him not playing on Sunday.
Well, I hope this turns into a bad report. I hope that Kamari Lassiter's out there. I mean, you know, we've talked about it over the last couple of days just because of some of the guys that have become available on the market, the Darius Slay, you know, cut in Pittsburgh. He ended up signing with Buffalo. By the way, he's talking about retiring now because apparently he didn't want to go to Buffalo. He wanted to return to the Eagles. But, you know, with we've talked in depth about the secondary issues that the Texans have. Boy, to lose one of these corners is going to be a tough pill to swallow, especially this week against Kansas City when they can throw Hollywood Brown out there, Worthy out there, obviously Rashee Rice out there. You know, you got a lot going on right now. And you've got several guys out there that can expose a corner, especially when, you know, stylistically when this defense is at its best, it's that sticky coverage in the back end. I don't know that you want to –
And the physicality.
Yeah, sure.
That a ton.
I just don't know that you want to be applying sticky coverage with Tremont Smith. I love Tremont, not minimize, no disrespect, but I don't know that you want to go out there against this group and ask Tremont Smith, who's typically special teams guy, to jump in there and all of a sudden be super physical and have quote-unquote sticky coverage. That seems like a tough ask for him, but we'll see. Hopefully Kamari Lassiter is fine. Did it say what it was? Is it a foot?
It's a foot. Yeah,
Foot
injury.
Yeah, man. Hopefully that's a bad report, and he's actually going to get back out there.
Yeah, that would be him and Tim Settle. Tim Settle, we'll talk about a little bit later on 5 o'clock fire, but he's going to be out. He's been placed on IR, out for the season with a season-ending foot surgery. He's already had surgery, so he's out with the foot. And Kamari Lassiter, as quotes report, his availability for the game on Sunday could be up in the air, which is something we are definitely going to be watching tomorrow. And usually, as they gotta travel, maybe it's a game time decision, but it may be something that we know about coming up tomorrow. While we're at Raven Tower for Football Friday. So that's one that we are definitely going to keep our eyes and watch. All right, Clint, I know last night you said you was watching that Rockets Kings number, and that was an ass kicking, and the Rockets have been doing that to a lot of these. They have taken care of the teams they're supposed to take care of. I know the Jazz got them the other night. It's the second time they had a back-to-back, or first time they had a back-to-back this season. And they took an L, but for the most part, they have been taking care of teams that they're supposed to, like they did last night with the Kings. But you were at a crossroads last night.
Man, I don't know. I'm a football guy, man, and you know, football is easy to analyze. It's easy to discuss because you got one game, man, and we tear that thing apart, and we've got six, seven days to do it, man, and it's all the different positions, and you know, it's hard enough for me with the Astros. As all the listeners know, I watch the Astros as if every game matters. I just don't know how to watch and root and be a fan for a team and just go, it's a long season, man. It don't matter what the hell's going on. So everybody out there knows my struggle. I have the bandwidth to handle it with the Astros. I don't know if I can add the Rockets. I flip on that Rockets game last night, and I'm thinking, I'm going to watch KD do his thing. Yeah, I'm going to watch Alpi do his thing. Hopefully Tyler hits his little over in points.
He did.
You know, I'm gonna see how Reed Shepard's coming along as his point guard, man. Watch this, and I flip TV on and Reed ain't on the floor. So I hit a, and look, I know he played some minutes last night. I'm not saying he should have played more. Everybody relax. I'm just talking about my emotions here. And I flip open social media, and all of a sudden I see, you know, Rockets Twitter talking about, well, you know, maybe Reed's better coming off the bench. You know, maybe this is this or that. And I'm thinking, damn. I just warmed up to the fact that I was wrong on this guy, and I want to see him go out there and play well. And here I flip TV on, and I can't even enjoy it. And I got 82 of these suckers.
That's what it's about.
It's hard for me to. It's going to be hard for me to do it year round between the Rockets and the Astros. It's really a year round of, hey, just watch to watch, man. There's so many games, it doesn't even matter. They don't even mean anything. Just watch to watch. I can't do it.
It's not that they don't mean anything. It's just obviously, you know. You start 0-3, you're in trouble. You have a three-game losing streak with the Astros or the Rockets. Not as dire. Mm. Not as dire. Yeah, man, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. And Reed's fine. Reed, like, yeah, you got enough time to kind of tinker with some things, right? I think the injury is probably what got Reed potentially in the in the starting lineup anyway, and he was playing well, looking good. I think what it has done is given him a thought, like, how do I feel about maybe sliding Amen Thompson over where he doesn't have point guard duties at the beginning of the game, and Reed Shepard, and can Reed play defensively well enough? I think he probably wanted to get Josh in, the better defender, in this game, and kind of toy around with some things. But you should be good. Reed is good. Now, he's had three games where he's been under in single digits, but that's all right. Well, came off that 31.
I mean, to take it even one step further, Rob.
Be all right, man.
But even one step further. I mean, this is like, and I don't know the players well enough yet, the replacements, if you will, well enough yet. The Josh Okogie cat. I don't know him well, you know. But, like, man, I can't watch old buddy jog out there to center field no more, man. What's his name?
Ooh.
The center fielder that went out there, lefty, that went out there and hit about 099.
Who, Jacob Melton?
Jacob Melton. Like, I can't do that in two sports. I can't do that year round.
The golden era.
No.
The Astros put me through it consistently. Like, I can't look up.
That's interesting. I don't know about you, Tyler, but, like, you know, I've never had an NBA team, so I didn't grow up with an NBA team. But Kansas is the closest thing to a basketball team, and they play probably two times a week, which isn't as much as you're talking. But, like, the Royals or baseball, and I'm assuming the Astros were many of you growing up, it was such a routine. It is such a routine, and, like, when the season over, it's like, what the hell? What am I supposed to do at 7 o'clock?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do? It's like a routine for me to get out there, and it becomes a part of my nightly routine.
I feel weird
on days off.
For me, I know it's not I know it's not realistic, but every time I turn the Rockets on, I want to see the best five on the floor they got.
Yeah.
Whatever that is, I want to see the best they got. And I understand they're in a position right now where maybe they don't know, and they got some guys injured. And I know the game's not played that way always, but there's matchups. I get it. But, man, I don't know. It just dawned on me last night for no particular reason, but it just dawned on me last night, like, man, I got to change my ways. I got to change my viewing habits, man.
Hey, make it your habit.
The way I watch these things, I got to take a little passion out of it.
Yeah, pick and choose games. You can't now you can't just get yourself laced out for a Kings Rockets matchup. Yeah, OKC. Yeah, get yourself going. Lakers, Nuggets, get yourself going. Yeah, take a deep breath, especially when they're getting their ass kicked. They're getting their ass kicked.
I mean, I ain't getting good and hard for no Lakers Nuggets game.
I'm talking about the Rockets. If the Rockets are playing those teams.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah, I know you're not watching that. All right, coming up, a lot of the conversation this week has been about how are the Chiefs going to deal with this number one defense, especially with the injuries they have and what it's looked like in a must-win game. How are they going to handle it? Well, listen, Clint, you know Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, they've been pretty good at this thing. What would be the ways that they're going to handle and have to attack? How can they attack this defense? We'll discuss that coming.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Bundle-rooski, bundle-rooski.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 99 in Spring, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right, The Drive is live, and we're live on the road, as the big voice man said. We're Buffalo Wild Wings on a Thirsty Thursday here in Spring. Make your way on out here. Got a good crowd out here, and as I look at it, it's almost 5 o'clock. More people starting to get off work. Make your way on out here and enjoy yourself. Still got prizes to win in the 5 o'clock hour, so come on out if you're in the building. I just saw a couple people just grab a ticket, get themselves in a raffle box for themselves a chance to win coming up here in just a bit. 5 o'clock fire. Make sure you're ready for that, because there is some I'd say pretty serious injury news on both sides, including the Kamari Lassiter news. Somebody texted in, Clint. Lassiter is not missing the game, Ron. Like, it felt like through it, it was very, very hard, a hard run. Not that kind of run, though.
A hard run.
Yeah. Ron. This is called gamesmanship. They lost two safeties, and that's why another cornerback was signed. Come on, man. Okay. Kamari doesn't seem like the guy to just
take a couple days off.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And miss the two heavy days. Maybe. We'll see. At the very least, it seems like it's up in the air. I don't think this is gamesmanship. I think that Kamari Lassiter is really struggling with something and could potentially miss this game. Again, as I said yesterday, he feels like the type of guy that you got to drag the hell off of it. And we'll see. We'll see where he is. Obviously, he's not 100%, but it'll be interesting to see where he is. But, listen, nationally, we talked about it. The Texans are getting love, right? They are one of the hottest teams in football, and deservedly being talked up, especially after these last two wins against the Bills and the Colts. NFL Live yesterday. This is Laura Rutledge. I think you've worked with her a little bit before.
I have.
Dan Orlovsky.
Fine young lady.
Lucky.
Dan, come on, Tiger. Dan Orlovsky, Field Yates, they were talking about the Texans' defense and the potential dilemmas that Andy Reid and the Chiefs will have to face. Here's what they were talking about on ESPN yesterday.
You know, we're giving credit to these Texans and their offense, but their defense is maybe, what, top two in the entire league? I mean, maybe one? Like, I mean, they're so
Denver,
good. So,
Philly, that, Houston,
so again, that's right what – that's what Patrick Mahomes and this offense is going to be up against. What can they try to do to make something happen in this game?
Okay, so when I watch Houston's defense, one of the things that stands out is how fast they fill in the run game. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like downhill. Okay, so my initial inclination is always go, well, let me kill you and gut you in the play action pass. Mm-hmm. And then you watch them defend a play action pass, and you're like, how can you be so aggressive to the run, yet I can't take advantage of in the play action? You know, they're so well coached and so smart. So I think one thing that has to be a big deal is they have to be willing to get the defense to run sideline to sideline. They're 4-by-1 stuff, kick the ball out to the perimeter. Mm. Hopefully you can make some tackles, make some missed tackles. The challenge is Houston tackles so well. Yeah. All of Lebanon. I wish I had an easy answer for you.
There's
I don't
not one,
think
right?
that
yeah.
there's like Patrick's going to have to make 3 or 4 remarkable plus plays where he goes above the X's and O's.
All right, that was Dan Orlovsky and the NFL Live crew talking about how good this defense is. And look, we've watched every one of the games of this defense. But Clint, also, I think you have great respect for the offensive mind that is Andy Reid, and obviously Patrick Mahomes has been in many situations, and this Chiefs offense has been in many situations. But we understand they are in, and we talked about the injury report, but they could be down 3 offensive linemen, right, and 3 backups. So they do have some deficiencies. In your mind, you've watched this defense. You understand still what they have over there, the weapons they have, and how they would function. How do you think Andy Reid – because obviously those guys aren't idiots. They're not going to walk in there and just say, oh, whoa, what the hell do we do? I'm certain they have a game plan. How do you get – what's the sense you did that they're going to attack the Texans?
I think there's 3 things that come to mind, and Dan hit on one of them, but I don't think he started in the right spot. I think you've got to try to attack the Texans between the tackles with the run game.
Yeah.
Guard, center guard, especially now with no Settle, no Foley Fatakasi. There's a real soft spot in there that should allow you to run the ball consistently between the tackles. Now, I'm not talking about chunk plays because Dan was right. The backers get downhill quick, the safeties feel, the nickel defenders can play the run. But when you look at this team, there is an opportunity between the tackles to run the football downhill. And I think that is where you start. And then you go to the play action. I think they're going to have to max protect with some play action, two-man routes, and beat one-on-one coverage in that quote-unquote sticky coverage, right? I think that has to happen. Here's what I worry more about is there's nobody in the NFL better than Andy Reid in scheming up what I call right now throws, right? Whether that's screens, whether it's behind the line of scrimmage, or it's man with the different kind of pick routes, whether it's picking inside out or outside in. Are you picking to get the quick throw to the sideline? Are you picking to get a shoot route up the sideline, a quick throw, but a vertical? You know, I don't think there's anybody in the NFL better than Andy Reid over the years. And that is the way you strain this defense. And so I think those –
even with their speed, even with their ability we saw the Bills have some success with it. Yeah.
They're good. They're good safe throws. I think with our defense, the way our defense plays, I think you're one seam or one missed tackle away from a chunk play. And I think they're going to strain them that way. I think they're going to try to run it between the tackles to try to protect Pat Mahomes because he doesn't have – you know, his tackles are hurt. Hell, his whole line is hurt. But I think they're going to try to run it downhill if they can, and the play action's obviously there. But I think you're going to get a heavy dose of the quick stuff sideline to sideline. And like I said, the creativity, how exotic they are, there's not a better guy in the NFL. There's not a better coach in the NFL with more in his repertoire than Andy Reid.
The big thing that is so different for the Texans than any other team that we watch defensively, I think the closest thing to it is the Denver Broncos, who the Chiefs faced earlier this year. That's similar. Is they're so fast and attacking. Like they seem to be playing downhill at every position on the field, right? The aggression level is there's not. Like the little easy throws you see teams be able to complete, they seem to be in receivers' grill. Like they're so aggressive. Andy and the Chiefs, to me, to have any kind of level of success, they're going to have to try to slow them down in some form or fashion. Make them think, make them play slower than they normally play. And I don't know that we've seen any teams been able to do that. But to me, that's whether that's running the football, as you're saying, quick, they have got to slow that defense down and in some way at least stop them from being so aggressive right off the bat to me. I think you pointed out multiple ways that can be done.
Look, I think there's going to be opportunity. I mean, the reality of it is yes, this defense is really good. Yes, Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes are dealing with a lot of injuries up front. And it's going to be an ugly game. But let's be honest. I mean, we've watched this team with this great defense play games versus offenses that'll go to sleep for three quarters, and it's a one-score game.
Yeah.
So it's not like with the Chiefs Tennessee, have to go out there and be great for four quarters. I mean, you just got to go out there, and over a four-quarter span, if you get 9-10 drives, hey, can you get three or four of them to get points on the board? Can you get a couple of touchdowns, get three or four of them to get points on the board? You get to that 20-24 number, and you're going to really put some pressure on the Texans to have to go score points, and then your defense can eat. So, yeah, I think it's a tough game. It's a tough game for Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid, as a lot of the games this year have been for them. But it's not like our offense isn't going to play to the low-scoring game.
I do wonder, as I know we need to head to 5 o'clock fire, I do wonder, because Andy can be very stubborn. Andy can be very, I'm going to run my offense, I'm going to run this thing, and I don't care. You know, I may not chip, I may not. He may be forced to have to just, as you said, quick stuff, right now throws, run the ball, have to stick to it just because he doesn't have his full offensive line.
Well, I don't think
he may be forced to have to do it.
I don't think he's going to be scared throughout the game to take shots. I don't think he or Pat are going to, because it's way too inviting. You can't do it for four quarters. You're going to end up with eight sacks the way that Josh Allen did. You can't do it and run around like a chicken with your head cut off outside the pocket. But stay in your lane, inside the pocket, move around, and try to buy a little bit of time to let a double move get over the top or let somebody get over the top of one of those sticky, low-hanging safeties, and you got a monster play. They're definitely going to try to take advantage of that. They got to be careful, or the Texans will make them pay in a big way. They probably will. The Texans will probably win half of those. All they got to do is hit one of them to make it make sense.
Yeah. All right, coming up a little 5 o'clock fire. As I said, man, we've got some real injury concerns for both teams, to be honest. The Texans and the Chiefs will let you know the latest on that. A big Thursday night football game with the other hot team in Texas. The Cowboys take on the Lions. We'll discuss that and some big news out of the NBA, not only with the Rockets and them last night, but also one of the top players has an injury. We'll discuss all of that as we continue right here live on The Drive.